Hello, my name is Armando, and welcome to The Plant Nook. What's up, plant fam? It is so lovely to be back after a very long 3 weeks. Just to let you know, I do have a window open. It is a gorgeous night here in Syracuse, and you may hear sounds of the outdoors, including wind rustling, crickets chirping, and cars driving by. But it is true life, and so we're going to keep it, all right? Oh, I can't tell you how lovely it is again to be talking to all of you. I've missed all of you, and I am so glad that I can be back and talk about plants. So 3 weeks ago, I wasn't able to record anything because we have had a festival called the Golden Harvest Festival at the nature center that I work at. And so just with timing and everything, I really couldn't get anything out there, at least nothing that I would have felt, you know, you guys deserved to listen to. So I decided to forego that week. The festival went off without a hitch. It went really beautifully. We were incredibly happy, incredibly proud with how everything turned out. So we were ecstatic considering we didn't have it for a year. So mind you, this festival has been going on for over 40 years. So it's a pretty true staple in the community that we have it at the Nature Center. So it was very lovely having it again. Then, the following 2 weeks, if you don't follow me on Instagram, I went to Spain. I walked the Camino de Santiago from Bayona and walked 100 kilometers, which was about, I think, 70 or so miles from Bayona, Spain to Santiago de Compostela. It is a religious pilgrimage, technically, and my grandmother has always wanted to do it, and we've been planning the trip for, I think, 2 years now, so we finally were able to go and do it. And I will tell you, that walk, I don't know how some of the pilgrims, the people who walk it are called pilgrims, in Spanish it's peregrinos, I don't know how some of those people can do a full route. Like, there is one that goes all the way from Lisbon, Portugal, to Santiago de Compostela. That is called the Portuguese Way. And that's 620 kilometers or 385 miles. Now, the Frances Way, which is the most popular one, that's 800 kilometers. That's almost 500 miles. People walk all of that distance. Some people will even walk with all of their stuff in their bags, on their back, and do the Camino de Santiago. To be considered a peregrino, though, you have to walk a minimum of 100 kilometers. And I will tell you, like I said before, it is tough. The first day, we walked, like, I think 22 kilometers. That's about 17 miles. And mind you, from Bayona to Santiago, it is basically uphill almost the entire way. I believe on the third or fourth day, we actually did climb a mountain. Like, climbed a mountain. My grandmother is 76 years old and has asthma. Like, I don't know. She is a beast of a woman, and we are all incredibly proud of her and incredibly impressed. Met a couple of people on the trail where we were talking and exchanging, you know, because part of the peregrino culture is you're talking to other people, talking about your cultures, why you're walking the Camino, and it was so much fun. And everyone was always so impressed with my grandmother, the fact that she was 76 and walking the Camino de Santiago. And mind you, she's a tiny little Asian woman, so she was like trucking along too. She did end up going to the hospital because she was severely dehydrated when we got back to the States, but she's good now. We're good. We're fine. But it was me, my mom, my uncle, my grandma, and two of my mom's friends, and then their relatives, one of each. So one woman that came with us, that was a friend of my mom's from her old job, and she brought her cousin, and then a friend or a now co-worker of my mom's and his brother. It was a lot of fun. I'm not a totally religious person. I sort of identify Catholicism as quote unquote my religion. However, it's more of a cultural thing. So when you think, when I don't want to say I am culturally Catholic, because in my opinion, Catholicism really can't be a culture, but it really kind of is. Like, my entire country that I grew up in, the Philippines, is a very Catholic country. So Catholicism really like buried its roots into our culture. And I think of other places like Spain or Italy. If you ever go to Italy, the iconography and the religion is so embedded in their culture that it really is part of their culture. So that's sort of where I personally stand with me being Catholic, I guess. It's because I was raised that way. And I still recognize the practice. And, you know, these people, especially doing the Camino, not everyone is Catholic or religious, but it is very much so a very spiritual and personal challenge. You know, you are physically putting yourself through a challenge walking this 100 kilometers. And for people, it is religious. And for some people, it's to accomplish something really, really big in their life. And that's sort of the reason why I wanted to do the Camino. I felt like it was a challenge that I wanted to personally achieve. And I did. I got the Compostela, which says I walked from Bayona to Santiago. It was 128 kilometers. I am a peregrino, and you know, I have a whole certificate to prove it. It's fantastic. I love it. And it was such a cool experience, getting to meet a few people. And then once we got to Santiago, you know, seeing other people that I saw on the trail finally make it, you know, we're like ecstatic. We're so happy for each other. You know, it's always like, oh my God, I'm so happy you made it. You know, we did it. You know, it's very, very huge sense of accomplishment. So if you've ever have heard of the Camino de Santiago and you have been thinking about it, I say go for it. You know, at the very least, start somewhere within 100 kilometers to be considered a peregrino and go forth and do it. My goal one day is to actually do the Frances Way, which is 800 kilometers. And it starts in the Pyrenees mountain region, from Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port. And it's a goal of mine at one point in my life to be able to do it. I don't think I'd ever get a chance to fully do that Camino in one go. I think I might have to do legs of it once a year in order to actually make it. Or I might just go and take a week off sometime, go 100 kilometers out and do the Frances Way, but I want to do sort of the entire experience. So in these 2 weeks in Spain, I started in Madrid. We flew into Madrid, spent the night, then flew to Vigo, then took a car to Bayona, where we spent 2 nights sort of to get ready, and then we basically walked a leg each day. And then we ended on Friday. We got to Santiago on Friday. We decided to combine the two last days because they were relatively short and individually, and so we were like, it's supposed to rain on Friday, let's just do it all and get to Santiago fully on Thursday, and then go back in a cab on Friday, get to the pilgrim's office, and get our Compostela. And on the way, now, I wouldn't be talking about this if there wasn't a planty reason. On the way, I got to see some beautiful, beautiful examples of plants. So if you follow me on Instagram, you got to see all of the plants that I saw. Starting in Madrid, there was this beautiful, beautiful living wall at the hotel that I was staying at. And, you know, the entire city just has a beautiful, beautiful vibe. Really wanted to check out the botanical garden that they have there, but didn't really have enough time, unfortunately. And then got to Bayona. Our hotel there also had plants. Some of the restaurants and bars we went to had some plants in it. I got to see Araucaria trees. Araucaria? Monkey puzzle trees? They were everywhere in that region of Spain. And I was so intrigued because, from my understanding, they're from South America. So it was so cool to see them there. And they're, when I say they're everywhere, I saw them everywhere. And as I was walking through, I am noticing all of these beautiful, what we consider as houseplants, just everywhere. You know, people would decorate their gardens, their patios, porches, everything with beautiful, beautiful plants. Really popular plants that I found were bromeliads. What else did I really find in terms of houseplants? Begonias. There were a lot of begonias and lots of succulent plants. I was seeing a lot of echeveria, lots of euphorbia. It was really cool to see all of them, and they were doing beautifully. And I'm assuming that it's, you know, the climate lets people grow plants there, not all year round in terms of the house plants. I was looking at a hardiness zone, and it's a little bit more different than ours here, but it doesn't get too cold, but it would get cold enough that it would not do well for a lot of houseplants. So I'm sure people either have greenhouses or bring them inside or whatnot. And I also saw a lot of ficus, a lot of rubber trees specifically. It was great. Lots of jade plants. Jade plants was growing in the ground. So I'm assuming some jade plants, or at least jade plants, are pretty hardy, considering these were a lot of these were just in the ground. There were also a lot of arrowheads as I was walking through the Camino that I found. Arrowheads specifically that looked like arum here in the US, but I wasn't sure. I was kind of doubting myself, only because from what I understand with arum, they grow in really boggy areas that get a lot of water, and these guys are just in the side of the road. So I'm not 100% sure. There were a couple of philodendrons that I saw, a couple Monstera deliciosa, huge specimens of Monstera deliciosa, like 10 to 15 fenestrations easy, a foot to a foot and a half long, a foot wide. Like, they were huge specimens. Some Thematophyllum bipinnatifidum, as well as a lot of alocasia that were also just planted in the ground. I was so surprised that they were able to grow in the ground, despite it, you know, potentially being too cold for it, depending on the part of the season. I also did see some other types of plants, like passifloras and different other types of flowering plants. But I think my favorite thing about Spain, at least in terms of their gardens, especially when I was walking into the smaller towns and cities like Redondela, Caldas de Reis, there were so many fruit and vegetable gardens, like a ton of fruit and vegetable gardens. Like, they were growing everything from leafy greens, eggplants, peppers, tomatoes, grapes, limes, lemons, kiwis. I've never seen an actual kiwi plant, and they're everywhere in Spain. And we also got to walk through a bunch of vineyards. It was absolutely beautiful, and we were able to be there when people were picking them. So they were harvesting all of the grapes, and it was so cool, you know, like being able to see all of these grapes in all of these vines. And we were able to try some, and they were delicious. They were so good. I absolutely loved seeing all these beautiful, lush, bountiful gardens, you know, and thinking about the location for a lot of these towns where they might not have access to a lot of food or a lot of supermarkets, or the supermarket's super far away, and a lot of these streets were incredibly narrow and terrifying. And so, how do you get around not having that much food? Grow it yourself. And I think the climate is temperate enough where they can really grow a lot of good food, and it made me so jealous. You know, I absolutely wish that I had the space, the time, and all that to actually grow my food just like that. And like, they would never go hungry. They really wouldn't. There was so, so much food. And I'm sure that neighbors share and all that jazz. So it was absolutely brilliant to see all of that fruit and vegetable gardens everywhere, as well as decorative and mostly used for ornamental plants just to create a beautiful space. You know, it was so cool seeing the integration of the two. I also saw a lot of banana plants. If you saw the story that I posted, I don't remember what day it would have been, probably day 4 or day 3. Like, there were huge banana plants and they were all fruiting. I guess it's a little sunnier out there, so they probably get a lot more sun. And so these banana trees are gigantic and beautiful. And there was one tree that was growing like a ton and ton of fruit. So it was incredibly cool to see sort of, you know, what these trees can produce if you give them enough resources and space. So it was cool seeing the houseplants that we know growing sort of almost wildly on the side, as well as in pots in order to actually decorate with. I think one of my favorite things is how people decorate sort of their front entrance, if you will. So most places have, especially if you're in a city, I think it was, which city would it have been? I believe it was leaving Pontevedra. It was like people's houses were sort of like townhouses, if you will. And so they had these like mini staircases or mini patios, sort of at the entrance of their houses. And they really used their vertical space. Like, they had these hanging pots that were drilled right into their walls, overflowing with like things like burrow's tail, pencil cactus, or begonias. I saw one Hoya the entire time I was there. And just using different plants to decorate the outside of their home, especially living in a town or a city where there isn't that much nature around, they really integrated nature by using houseplants and decorating their front porches and such. So when you're walking by, you get a glimpse of green, glimpse of these different colors. So it was really, really cool seeing all of it. I think one of my favorite things about this entire journey, and it was not a vacation, it was definitely a journey, was going through a lot of forests that had eucalyptus in it. I never would have expected eucalyptus to grow wildly in Spain. You know, in my head, it's a very tropical plant, dry, you know, lots and lots of sun, lots and lots of heat. Apparently, I'm wrong. There was a ton of eucalyptus forests. And when the breeze blew through, oh, it smelled so good. Oh, it was so, so, so cool. And I will let you know, those trees are messy. Their bark peels pretty easily. Like, if you're looking at a stand of eucalyptus, a lot of their bark is just sort of draping off, getting on the floor. So it kind of makes sense as to why a lot of the places where eucalyptus does grow experience a lot of wildfires, because eucalyptus does offer a lot of fodder for that. So unfortunately, they are pretty messy trees, but they're incredibly beautiful, especially the one kind. It was very silvery, almost white, with a hint of like green in it. It was so cool, contrasting a lot of the oaks, some of the maples, and also the chestnut trees. It was about chestnut season. Some of them weren't totally ripe just yet, but some of them were big enough that it would have been pretty substantial. We actually did run into someone collecting chestnuts while we were on our walk. So if you ever get the chance to walk the Camino de Santiago, I really think you should do it. Not only, you know, just to have that sense of accomplishment for completing this amazing, ridiculous thing that's 100 kilometers long and takes a couple of days to do, almost a week, and ending in a gorgeous city, you can also go and do it and see how other cultures and how other countries use plants. You know, like I said, I was incredibly surprised seeing things like alocasia, jade plants, you know, outside in the ground growing. I never would have expected that, at least not for that climate. So it was so cool seeing plants that I think are, you know, you can't grow it in that area. You should keep it in pots and inside. But seeing them completely thrive, you know, it's so interesting to see how resilient plants are everywhere in the world and not just in your home. So, just to sum everything up, the Camino was great. So many awesome plants. You should go to my Instagram and check out all the posts of the plants that I posted. If you don't follow me yet, it is The Plant Nook Podcast on Instagram. You could also head to anchor.fm/theplantnook to find out other ways to support the podcast. You could also send me an email, theplantnook@gmail.com. Ask me any questions you have. You could also check out the merch shop, get a cool, awesome Plant Fam t-shirt or the official logo on a t-shirt. But yeah, that's this week's episode. Thank you guys so much for listening and listening to me rant about this really awesome journey and trip that I went on. So that's it for this week. Hope to share more with you next time. Bye. The music you heard in this podcast is called Hard Fought Victory from Purple Planet Music. And now, a word from our sponsor.